What happens when the Holy Spirit fills someone? What happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us so that we may be His witnesses? You might remember that John the Baptist was sent by God to be the one who would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus to come to the nation of Israel. In the same way, we are, like John the Baptist, sent of God to prepare the way for Jesus to come into the hearts of men. And we have a message very similar to the message of John the Baptist. And we have a mission that is very similar to the mission of John the Baptist. And if you study the life of John the Baptist, you'll find out in Luke chapter 1, when you have the story of his father Zacharias having the promise of this child that would be born unto him, that at that time one of the promises were made was that for John the Baptist, he would have a unique experience that would enable him for his ministry, that would prepare him for his ministry, that would equip him to be what Jesus said was the greatest prophet of all time. And this is what it was. The angel told the father Zacharias that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how John the Baptist was able to do what he did. That's why John the Baptist was able to speak in such a way that it shook the whole nation of Israel. And for a season, Jesus said, the whole nation rejoiced in his light. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the question that I asked myself, and this is something I began thinking about as I began making my way down to Venezuela, was what does this filling of the Holy Spirit look like? Because God, I want to be filled with your Spirit, and I want the sensation of the filling of your Spirit to be evident in my life. And I think I found the answer in John chapter 5, verse 35. There Jesus Christ speaks of John the Baptist. He says in 33, ye sent unto John, and he bore witness unto the truth. In verse 35, he says of John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. I'd like to look with you for just a moment at this statement. He was a burning and a shining light. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit does when he fills us. He makes us a burning and a shining light. And there are two things here I want to emphasize before you. And it's right for us to see this statement of John the Baptist as converging with what is true in the work of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist himself spoke of Jesus saying that when Jesus comes, he will baptize individuals with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire is always associated in the work of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was filled with the Spirit at Pentecost, we're told that cloven tongues of fire descended upon them. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a man, when the Holy Spirit works within the heart of a man, the effect of the Holy Spirit is always a divine fire that burns and shines. The work of the filling of the Holy Spirit has two effects. It is a fire that burns within us and shines out from us. Let's look at this effect of burning first. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, create a burning within me. Well, there are a number of different things I think of when I think of the burning of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you three. I won't be able to complete these thoughts in detail, but write them down and I'll give you some verses. When I think of the burning of the Holy Spirit, one of the things I think of is passion. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a man, he fills that man with passion. James chapter 5, verse 16b speaks of the need for us to pray. And there it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word effectual there is really to be understood this way. The prayer of a righteous man avails much or accomplishes much when it is put into effect, or when it has been, and the word really has been energized. And the energizing of that prayer is not his own energy. It's not his own power. The energizing of that prayer is the energizing work of the Holy Spirit pouring his passions into the passion or heart of a man. So that when he prays, his prayers are not only his wishes and his own sense of idea, and he's not systematically going through a list of prayers, but as he prays, the Holy Spirit is moving upon him, impassioning him for his own will. That's what James is talking about. That's what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Paul says to the church that they are to be praying in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means a prayer that is impassioned by the Spirit of God. That means a life that is impassioned by the Spirit of God, putting into our hearts God's own desires. The Holy Spirit, you see, is passionate for God's glory. The Holy Spirit is passionate about God's Son. The Holy Spirit is passionate about God's Word. The Holy Spirit is passionate about God's mission to seek and to save those who are lost. It is passionate about God's mission to seek for those who will worship God in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit is passionate. And what Paul is saying is, let the Spirit come upon you and impassion your very prayers. Energize the way that you pray and the way that you live. And so, let me simply say that when the burning work of the filling of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it impassions us. Thomas Manton, this was an old Puritan, he wrote this, "Oh, look to your affections and get them fired by the Holy Ghost, that they may flame up towards God and devout and religious ascents. Oh, be earnest and fervent, then though you cannot be eloquent, there is language in groans, and sighs are articulate." Passion. God, impassion my heart. God, when I'm tired and I'm weary, when I'm doing something that I've done before, when I'm carrying on a ministry that I've done over and over again, God, don't let me become weary in well-doing. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, pour within my heart your passion for the work. Another thing I see here in this issue of burning is the word purity. When the Holy Spirit burns within our life, when He fills us, He burns out the sin in our life. He begins to address the areas of unrighteousness in our life. He brings the holy fire of God within us to purify us and purge us of all of our dross. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust of the flesh thereof." The fire of the Holy Spirit is a purifying fire. A.B. Simpson wrote this song, "Fire of God, begin within me, burn out the dross of self and sin. Burn off my fetters and make me free and make my soul a heaven within. Burn in, O fire of God, burn in, till all my soul Christ's likeness bear, and every power and pulse therein His holy heavenly image wear." There is a work of the Holy Spirit when He fills us that is always evidenced in an increase of holiness and purity. He cleanses us. He cleanses us and purifies us in order that we might be a pure vessel from which He pours forth His words. Oh, we are always in the process of needing Him to cleanse us more and more. And the fire must burn deeper and deeper. But oh, desire that the fire would burn. Desire that He might purify you and cleanse you and make you holy. The last thing I see here in this issue of burning is not simply purity and not only passion, but power. In Acts chapter 4, verses 31 and 33, we have the story of the early church gathering together and praying. And it says, "And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness." And then verse 33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Power. Power. To speak to men's lives. Power to live the life of Christ before men with patience and grace and authority. Micah chapter 3:8 was a verse that the Lord gave me this last week. It says this, the prophet says, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins." Listen, we have a message to bring to people that is confrontational. It's a message in which we declare to individuals that they are bad people who periodically do good things. They are evil people sitting under the just judgment of God, and they need to repent of their sins and cling to the one who has died for their sins and believe in Him only. And how will we ever communicate to people such a message? A message that to them is utter nonsense. Well, this is the way. "I am truly full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins. Power. So the filling of the Holy Spirit. Power that is unapologetic. Power that is working through us and touching men's lives and speaking to them in ways that we could not and cannot imagine. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, a burning takes place, a burning that impassions their life, a burning that purifies their life, a burning that fills them with power. There's another thing it does. It's not simply that John was a burning light. He was a shining light. And let me just simply say this. When I think of shining, I think of something that is penetrating, something that is public, something that works its way into the heart of a man and shines its way into the middle of a dark community. John was not only a burning light, but he was a penetrating light. The impact of this burning work of the Holy Spirit emanated from him and impacted the individuals around him and spoke to the individuals around them and touched their lives. Today we talk about individuals needing to be great communicators in order to reach men. We think of ways that we can develop marketing strategies. Just yesterday I was looking at a Newsweek magazine and it was advertising. No, this is a magazine actually that was in Venezuela. And it was an English magazine. And it talked about the fact that today they are marketing clothes in which people are wearing clothes with religious information on them. And now the rock singers and the rock stars think it's cool to walk around with garments that have woven on them and t-shirts that have things on them saying things like, "Jesus is my homeboy," and things like this. The answer is, this is all right. This is a demonstration that our marketing strategies are working and reaching people. But I want you to know something. We need something more than marketing strategies. We need something more than thinking of inventive ways to penetrate our culture. The best way to penetrate a culture or to penetrate a person's life is to be filled with the burning, shining light of the Holy Spirit. He penetrates into the hearts of men. He speaks to them. He touches lives. And let me suggest to you something just in closing as I thought about this. A danger for our lives. There is the danger that we can become a shining light, but not a burning light. There's a danger in our Christian community that we can focus on how to be a shining light, how we can attract people and how we can appeal to them and how we can draw people to our message. And we can focus on being a shining light, but not a burning light. Not a light that is burning with the power of the Holy Spirit, impassioning us and purifying us and empowering us with His own life and presence. That's what we must have above everything else. We cannot afford to be, and we do not want to be, and you should never dream to be a shining light unless you are also desiring that you might be a burning light that God would burn within you. At the same time, there is another warning, and it's this. The idea that the spiritual experiences that God has for me are just for me. They're for my own gratification so that I can sing about them and celebrate them and I can somehow wrap myself up in the cocoon of His love and all these experiences God has given to me, me, me. And there's a danger that our focus is on being a burning light but not a shining light. And our desire somehow for God to just work within us and to bring us His presence and God to begin to establish us in His holiness or whatever it is so that I can be the kind of Christian that I need to be and that I want to be and not have a desire and all that to be a shining light to men who are lost. These are the two extreme dangers in the Christian life and in the church. One is that we become a shining light without being a burning light, and the other one is that we seek to be a burning light and we sequester ourselves away in such a way that we become ineffective in being a shining light before men. But how is that all corrected? One simple way. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray that His Spirit would come upon you and fill you with the presence of Jesus Christ and help you to do what you cannot do in yourself. Yield yourself daily to that filling. Completely to that filling. Yield yourself in utter self-abandonment. Here's the secret of the Christian life. I learned it from Andrew Murray about 3 months ago. Absolute surrender. Absolutely surrender yourself to the Spirit of God. Let Him come within you and use you in whatever situation you're in, recognizing that you have been called to be His messenger. And He will make you a burning and a shining light. Let's pray together.